الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. With regard to the value of sunnahs, we are reading about shoes, what type of shoes we should wear and what the effect it has on us. Dimag par joote ke atharat, the effect on our brains, shoes, what effect they have got on our brains. Jab paon ko chot lagti hai, jahan paon mutaathir hota hai, usse kahin zyada dimag aur dimaghi kaifiyat uska gehra athar leti hai. Whenever a person gets hurt on his legs, on any part of the body, that affects the brains also. It's all directed to the nerve center, to the brains. And the brains take a much more greater effect than what that part of the body takes. This is just like the part of the body that is affected. If somewhere you bumped it or whatever, that's a physical wound. And the mind takes a mental strain, and that mental strain is much more heavier than the physical wound. One's emotional conditions are much more severe than his physical conditions. So it has an effect on the brain. Baz auqat dimaghi amraz ki wajah se paon ke zakhm jald acche nahi hote. And it happens that when the brain is mentally unstable, then these wounds also don't heal easily. It takes much more longer. How, just like a person gets a wound anywhere, the system of the body, immediately blood rushes to that part. And that type of blood that seals that wound, so that more blood does not go out, etc. Just like that, the nerves from the brain also work on that part to repair it. Ke dimag ka paon ke aaram aur paon ke dimaghi sukoon se gehra rabt hai. There is a clear thing that the legs, all parts of the body, have got a very strong connection with the brain. The whole body has got a very strong connection with the brain. The brain and the heart are two very important parts, and the whole body is connected to them. The flow of the blood is connected with the heart, and all the nerves go towards the brain. Newton mashhoor science dan hai. Jab dimaghi dabao aur depression ka shikar hua, to usne fauran jyoti ki taraf nigaah ki. Newton, which is a famous scientist, when he had tension and depression, immediately he looked at his shoes. That what shoes am I wearing? Woh har hafte naya joota badalta, aakhir usse ek joote ne sukoon diya. And he kept on changing his shoes every week, looking for the right shoe, until finally he found the right shoe that was good for him. Aur wo hamesha usi joote ko istemal karta. After that, he continuously only wore that shoe. So our mental condition is also connected with our legs. We can understand also from the hadith that Abu Talib will be given the lightest punishment in Jahannam. And that will be that his feet will be in fire, but that will cause his brains to boil. So that connection is there all the time. Germany ke mahirin ne inkishaf kiya hai, joota behtar to dimag behtar. The Germans researched and they came up with this: if shoes are good, the brains are good. Joota sakht to dimag sakht. If the shoes are hard, the brains are hard. Joota naram to dimag naram. If the brains are soft, the shoes are soft, the brains will be soft. Bazairi alfaz aam hai. Outwardly, these are just general words. Lekin fikr aur tadabbur ke baad insaan in lafzon se kuch hasil kar sakta hai. But whoever will ponder and meditate on this, they will find a lot of food for thought. That these things have got a great effect. What type of shoes? Also, we see military people, police people wear hard boots. And you see their nature is very hard also. It has an effect on them. They are hard also. So what kind of shoes we wear? Soft shoes, soft nature. Hard shoes, hard nature. This has got an effect. Aasabi tanav. Ziyada arsa nahi hua, sirf burhe hi aasabi tanav ki shikar hote the. He says it's not long now that only old people should have pressure, tension. uski wajah kuch ho, whatever the reason might be for that, lekin maujooda tahqeeq ne ye baat thabit kar diya ke nayi nasl nafsiyati amraz ka zyada shikar hai. But now in our times, young people are more psychologically affected. They are more under mental pressure, psychologically affected. Uske beshumar asbab hai. There are hundreds of reasons for that. Lekin ye baat musallam hai ke jhoota sihat wa tandurusti mein mumid wa muawin hai. But it is no doubt that shoes have got a great effect on the health and the welfare and goodness of a person. Aur uska ghalat istemal aasabi amraz ka baais hai. And if a person wears the wrong types of shoes, it has an effect on his tension, on his mental pressure, brain, etc. Shahan-e-Hind ka intikhab. Salatin-e-Hind Salim Shahi Juta pasand karte the. The kings of India used to wear a shoe called Salim Shahi. Aur khandan dar khandan yahi juta istemal karte chale aate the. And generation after generation, they all wore that same type of shoe. Jab us jute ke wada qata ka ghair mutala kiya gaya, when a proper study was undertaken of that shoe, that why are these people, all of them, they just wear this shoe. To ye baat wazi ho gayi ke wo log jute ke zariye apni hifazat sehat karna chahte the. They realized that through shoes, they were protecting their health, looking after their health. As we have to watch what food we eat, we have to watch that we are fit, we make exercises, we are physically active, etc. Shoes also, which perhaps our mind never went to, but that also has a great effect on the health of a person. Shehnashai Babar kehta hai ke maine jab Hindustan ke sarzameen par qadam rakha, kyunki yahan ki sarzameen, mahol aur mausam mukhtalif tha, isliye mera intikhab Salim Shahi juta hi tha. This king, Babar, was a famous king. He says when he came to India, then he thought the environment, the climate of the place, that is very important. According to the climate, etc., a person wears his clothes. Summer, the clothes must be according to that. Winter, according to that. Food also. If it's a hot day, we've got fixed menus. But like when it's a cold day, we should have soup. We should have like fish, things which warm the body. If it's a hot day, we should have things which cool the body. So these are all very important things, what we eat, what we wear. He says that according to the environment and the seasons of India, I chose that same shoe, the Salim Shahi shoe. Matab mein ek khatun tashreef le aaye. This doctor says, one lady came to my surgery. جو کہ گزشتہ 18 برس سے دائمی درد سر میں مبتلا تھی. For the past 18 years, she had migraine, headaches all the time, which is very common with women also. It's a very common problem. پتا چلا کہ وہ ہمیشہ اونچی ایری کا جوتا استعمال کرتی ہے. When checking her up, I found that all the time she wears high heel shoes. ان کا جوتا تبدیل کیا گیا تو کیفیت بدل گئی. I ordered her that she must change her shoes, wear flat shoes, and her condition came right. Those headaches of 18 years went away. Ek dihati aadmi apne chamre ke bane hue aise joote ko har waqt tel mein tar rakhta tha. One village person, dihati, his shoes which were made of leather, and that is the shoes that we must wear, and today they are available. In fact, it's sold with great price, genuine leather shoes. So he should wear leather shoes, and he should keep it always moist with oil, the shoes. Kehne laga, meri umar 80 saal se kahin zyada hai. He says, my age is over 80. Nigaah kamzor nahi, my eyes are not weak. Daant nahi gire, all my teeth I've still got. Aasabi kamzori nahi, I haven't got no tension, pressure. Main samajhta hoon, uski wajah mere tel se tar jhoote hai. According to him, he says, in my opinion, it is that they're my shoes which I wet with oil. That is why. Today we don't put cream on our legs. Only in winter perhaps we put that it needs a food. And more than that, we hardly put oil in our head. And worse than that, we wash our hair with shampoo, which has got carbolic acid in it, which is very, very harmful. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he said just the soap also has got carbolic acid in it. That is very harmful for the body. And he says, I guarantee you, at least just on your face, don't use soap for about 6 weeks, 40 days, and you'll see the difference on your face also. So all these things, and today, unfortunately, women, all the cosmetics, etc., which is made up of with so strong chemicals, it completely destroys a woman's face, etc. That when she's young, 17, 18, and she uses this, she might be thinking she looks nice, but hardly reaches 35, 40, and what freckles, and what pimples, and what comes on her face. And those women who don't touch this, till old age, their faces are still smooth, and the skin is still smooth, and they don't have any problem. So it is very important that these things are also part of our deen. Not only our namaz and roza, etc., and making zikr and tilawat, but we must make a general effort on all these things. Al-gharaz, agar aap mauzu jhoote ka intikhab kare, hamesha chamre ka jhoota istemal kare, ziyada band aur tang jhoote se bache. He says in the summary of it all, that if you wear the right shoes, and what are the right shoes? Leather, and don't wear closed shoes, especially for India and Pakistan, where it is hot, and like cities like Karachi, Bombay, where they hardly know what is winter. There they shouldn't wear closed shoes at all. If it's winter, and for to save yourself from the cold, because if your legs are, your feet are cold, you catch a cold very quickly, it affects your whole body. So such countries where it is cold, there you wear closed shoes, you wear socks. When it is cold, it is quite understood. But otherwise, we should not wear closed shoes. Our feet need oxygen. By the air, there is oxygen all the time, which is a very major part in the air, oxygen. And by making wuzu 5 times a day, even therefore it is encouraged, even if you got wuzu, refresh your wuzu. And any person can notice it, when you make your masah on your neck and you wash your feet, you just feel refreshed naturally. Because the oxygen that goes, you naturally feel refreshed. So therefore, even if a person has wudu, though he can make his salah, he's got wudu, but if he makes a fresh wudu, more oxygen from the water, more oxygen from the air all the time. So, and if those who keep their legs closed all the time, with their socks, and some wear thick socks, and wear their closed shoes all the time, and no namaz also, so they don't take off the socks whole day. With the condition of those legs, athletes' feet is a common problem, etc. So therefore, we are very fortunate that our deen is a natural remedy and guide for all good health also. Mojuda Jadid, Jogar Lung Shoes. This might be there in Pakistan, fashionable shoes of their time. Hamare ilaqe mein mizaj mausam ke ain khilaf hai. He says they are completely against our environment and our weather, wearing closed shoes, whatever these fashion shoes are which they are wearing. Har waqt paon mein joota na rakhe, kabhi kabhi joote ke baghair bhi chala kare. There is also sunnat that a person should walk bare feet also at time. Bare feet on grass, walk bare feet on sand. Whenever you get a chance, a person should try and take this. It has a very good effect, and it is sunnah. And with intention, walk bare feet. Allah only knows, but twice it happened to me in the haram of Medina Sharif, and both times Maulana Abdul Rahman was also there, that the shoes that I wear there for Umrah, to keep that bone open, twice it happened that we came out from the haram and just could not find it. All the friends offered their shoes, but I preferred to walk bare feet. Then we went, we bought another pair. The next time, again it happened this last time, in a different, and when we came back the next time to the haram, the shoes were there again. So perhaps Allah wanted must walk bare feet, and especially in Medina Sharif. Now, otherwise, who will bring the shoe back again? And we searched that whole wreck, not only that one point, the whole wreck we couldn't find the shoes. Next time, in another place of the haram, coming from the back of the haram, the shoes were there. When I came, just could not find it. Maulana helped me, his sons helped me to look. We couldn't find them. But when we came back another time, they were again there. So Allah wanted to perhaps that at least walk barefoot here in Medina Sharif. They at least walk barefoot. So to walk barefoot anywhere is good. And in the haram of Medina, there it's very, very good. And today with the cleanliness there all the time, not only in the masjid, even out of the masjid, how much they clean it, there is no problem to walk barefoot there at all. Unchi eri or ghair lachakdar juta mauzu nahi. High heel shoe and a shoe that is tight on the feet, that is not good at all. Unless a person does such work, like he's a motor mechanic, and at that time his legs can get injured, or any construction work, they have to wear boots at that time. For that, they have to wear such shoes. But besides that, it is not good. Jab hum chalte hain to joote aur paon ki ragar se ek hararat paida hoti hai. This can be understood very easily. Whenever a person walks, then his feet, which is touching the sole of his shoe, sandal, that meeting of it is causing heat all the time. It's giving off, like you just rub your hands, heat will also be given off. Like your shoe touching your shoe, your leg touching your shoe, it's also giving off heat all the time. Wo agar chamra hai, to hararat khatam ho jati hai. If the shoe is leather, that heat gets finished. Or agar rubber, plastic wagaira ka juta hai, to foran garmi aur jalan be shumar amraz ka khay pesh khayma ban jata hai. And if it is plastic or rubber, that heat, it increases the heat, and that heat goes into the body. And this is the starting point introduction of untold illnesses. Many, where the doctors also will look for the problem, and then you go to amils, where they will look for the problem. But how many of the things are connected with the shoes? And we'd hardly ever think of that, and our mind does not go to that. And our sunnat, Allahu Akbar, that to wear leather shoes, to wear open shoes, and Medina Sharif, it's not always hot. In winter it becomes very cold. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should wear moza in winter. That is sunnah to wear mozas. But the leather shoes and the open shoe is very, very important. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum is very particular that a person must not be overdressed, even in winter. As far only how much is really necessary. Because to cover the body too much, our buzurgs don't like that, too much being over covered, even with like jerseys and things like that. When it is necessary, and how much is necessary, only to that extent. Otherwise a person should be light. When Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Mia, famous great alim, and he was so famous in the Arabs, and they had so much respect. When he used to go, always just this simple dress. Just the simple kurta and just simple dress, simple topi. And particularly, Maulana Abdullah Kapodri, Damat Barakatum, says that when he went to Syria, the ulama of there particularly noted, Raina Abul Hasan al-Nadawi al-Hasani, khafif al-banan, khafif al-libas. He built also very small and his clothes also very light. The same he says with Mufti Taqi Usmani, who also has such high respect in the Arabs, but wherever he goes, no jubba, qubba, not even a waistcoat, nothing. No amama also, just the simple kurta which we wear, and the trouser. And what high position, and what great respects the Arabs have for them. But their clothes are so simple. So there's a lot of overdressing and being too dressy, that is not liked by our Kabir also. It wasn't any of them, their mizaj also. So may Allah give us tawfiq that we wear the right shoes, which is very, very important also. In this kitab, with regard to huquq-e muslih or adab-e islah, our islah and the rights of the sheikh, and the rights of this way of tariq, so that a person can benefit fully from it. In anything, if a person observes the etiquettes, he gets the benefit. If he doesn't observe the etiquette, that same thing can prove harmful for him, in fact. So further, Hazrat writes, last week we read about what a Shaykh, a Kamil, should be. And all of those who got ijazat, they are sheikhs, they should see whether the qualities are in us. If they are not, we must make effort to bring them in us. It's very, very important that we, and don't, we shouldn't be just judging somebody else and taking test of others that how many qualities have they got. We should check ourselves how many of these qualities are in us. When Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali taught us Bukhari Sharif, and the hadith came, the signs of a munafiq are three. So before he explained that hadith, he said, whoever will think of somebody else, whether this the signs of this nifaq, of hypocrisy, are in that person. Or your mind goes, that person, whenever he speaks, he lies. Whenever he has an argument, he starts fighting, swearing, etc. All those things which are the signs of the munafiq, then that person, in Bukhari Sharif, he will get destroyed. But a person who will think about himself, are these things in me, that person will get benefit of Bukhari Sharif. Otherwise, a person will be reading Bukhari Sharif, but he will be destroying himself. When he thinks about other people, that one has got this fault, that person always, he when he argues is like that, that person always when he fights, etc. We look at other people. So yeah, also we should look at ourselves. Then also we did this one, that himmat, courage, which Allah has given everyone, we must use that courage. A person says that I'm too weak. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains this, that when looking at a woman, then you say, I'm too weak, I can't take off my eyes from her. But to put your eyes on her, then you're not too weak. Then you had the strength to control your eyes and focused your eyes on her. But now that same himmat and power and strength you got to focus your eyes, you still got that strength to defocus, to take your eyes away, but you're not using it now. To look, you're using it, but to take it away, you got that. Hazrat Damat Barakatum says that a person, if his hands just remains like this, there's a certain disease, there's a name for it, then that person, he hasn't got the strength, that person, he is excused. He hasn't got strength because his hand now, any part of his body is stuck like that. But a person who can pick up his hand can bring his hand down also. A person who can sleep can get up also. And we see many of our friends who don't get up for Fajr. But when they are with other people, they in suffer. When they go in Jamaat, then they are up for Fajr. But at home, why are we not getting up for Fajr? Under normal circumstances. Only when we are in suffer. And in suffer, it's more strenuous. Your time of sleeping is not normal. At home, you sleep quite normally, your normal time. So at home, it should be more easy. And today, unfortunately, this disease is spreading in the world, where we saw it first, very common in Pakistan, where the night starts at after Isha. And the businesses also, they only open the shops at 12 o'clock some. 11, 12 o'clock is common, they open the shops. And they close the shops only at 10 o'clock at night, etc. And so then they go home, then they eat, then whatever, housework or sitting with the family, they only go and sleep at 12, 1 o'clock. How can a person get up for Fajr? Almost impossible. Hadith is so emphatic on this, that after Isha, no other discussion. If it's a dini matter of necessity, then you must engage in that. Otherwise, after Isha is time to sleep. That disease is spreading everywhere. With the internet, the people are just not sleeping early. Wherever you go, people are way awake till late at night. And then they can't get up for Fajr. How are you going to get up? Wale jasadika alayka haq. Your body also has got a right over you. So if you don't sleep enough, you sleep late, you can't get up early. And the hadith stresses this. And the famous saying, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. But unfortunately today it's late to bed, late to rise. And the most mubarak time is after Fajr time, from tahajjud till the time of chas, till the time of zohar, that is the most mubarak time. A person who works in that time, he can take off for the rest of the day. He won't lose out anything. And so that is the time to work really. So this himmat Allah has given us to go and sleep early also, a person, and those who have this, that I can't fall asleep. They've spoiled their habit. Now they can't fall asleep after Isha. Just go and lie down. And make sure by whichever way you must get up for Fajr. Then stay away, do your work during the day. Then you'll get exhausted and you'll fall after sleep after. Now you don't get up, you sleep late, you get up late, your whole cycle, this vicious cycle, just like commonly it happens at many places, at the Ijtima for example, it's very common. People who come to the Ijtima who have traveled from far, and they come there, they are exhausted, they are tired, so they listen the first day to little bit bayan, and then now after Isha they must go and sleep, they are tired, but now they're meeting old friends, now they're sitting, talking, and now till 12, 1, it means nothing. Now they go and sleep. Then Fajr they not up, or if they do get up for Fajr, straight after Fajr, now Bayan, they are sleeping again. Now when it's time for, they don't listen to the Bayan, they are sleeping. Now when they get up, and now they want breakfast, nice Ta'aleem time. Now they go and have their breakfast, etc. And then again, after Zohar again, they go and take a nap because that overdue their sleep. They're not there for the Bayan again. And then again, after that, they get up. Again, now meals, tea, etc. The whole vicious cycle. And you don't take part in the programs. And you get deprived of the programs. And the minute you set that program out, the same thing with jet lag. A person who travels by air, and he comes back and he does not control it. Little bit, put a little strain on yourself and control it. At least namaz times be up. If it's really a heavy jet lag, make your namaz at home, but don't make your namaz as qaza. And get yourself in routine soon. You fall in routine again. Otherwise, it just carries on. And this thing hits back, and then your namazes go. But there are some people, they don't sleep till late at night. Then, Fajr time, they don't get up. They only get up at 9 o'clock or so. Now they get busy with their work. And then again, they go and sleep just before Zohar. They are our friends. Then after, just before Zohar, they go and sleep. And whole Zohar is gone. Sometimes Asar also is gone. Now a person who slept so long in the afternoon, how is he going to sleep after Isha? He's not going to feel sleepy. Now again, he stays awake for a long period. Now Fajr time, he's heavy sleepy again. Then he sleeps again. So the whole cycle, a person, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to put that cycle right. And where does it start? Immediately after Isha sleep. After Fajr, don't sleep. In the afternoon, Qailula is 1 minute to 1 hour. Not less than a minute, not more than an hour. 5 minutes, just take a little rest, lie down, it has a great effect. And half an hour, 20 minutes, at the most 1 hour. And then it helps a person to stay awake till the night. After, like the students also, we tell them that after Isha go and sleep. But they normally, unfortunately, the students also stay awake till late. And then they can't get up for Fajr. Then they have problems. Then they are sleeping class time now. They are feeling sleepy. And then they are sleeping that time. So they don't make Qailula. And when it comes now, the Mutala time after Maghrib, they are very exhausted because they didn't sleep Qailula. They slept too much in the morning. Now they are feeling sleepy in Sabak time. Now it's their study time. After Isha, when it's time to sleep now they are fresh because now they slept. They got the kitab open, but they're sleeping away on the kitab, etc. And now they are tired after Isha, they're fresh again. And they don't sleep again till 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So this is a very important thing to put, and we got that himmat. And you don't even need a sheikh, and you don't even have to ask advice of a sheikh. Whoever is sincere to himself and wants his guidance and wants to be on the right, these things are very important that our sleeping lifestyle pattern comes in order. Also, we'll find that those people who sleep in the bayan now, while the majlis is carried, after the majlis, then they are very fresh. Now they can't fall asleep. A person who stays awake here, then after the bayan, after namaz, he's tired, he goes and sleep away. So it's very important that this himmat, in one other malfuz of Hadrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that, Islamun hasir hai himmat par. Or himmat Allah has given us. Use that himmat which we have got. You have got it. You can use it. Use it. Hazrat our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that the calf that drinks milk on its mother, a newborn, a calf. So when the owner comes and he milks the cow, So that cow pulls up certain amount of its milk, keeps it in for its calf. It's got left for its calf. The owner is going to see and feed the calf, but the mother also has feeling, so it doesn't let it go. It has got that. It keeps it back. So the same way that himmat which a cow can use, we also can use it. When you have to look at a woman or whatever else, other things, missing of namaz, our anger. Anger, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, makes a person very stupid. Because anger a person only becomes angry on a person that is smaller or a small as lower in grade to him. Who is higher, then immediately that anger disappears. Like a person is taking out all his anger on his wife, on his children, on his workers. But the minute a superior comes, then he's under control. Now where that anger is gone? Which example our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum gives, a person is so cross with his wife, and he says, I'm going to make kachumar out of you. I'll make mince out of you today. You'll see what I'll do with you. Suddenly there's a knock on the door. When he goes and check from the peephole, he sees it's his two brothers-in-law. Both are in the military and they are with their uniform and with their guns and everything. Now suddenly all his anger is gone. Now where his anger disappeared in thin air? It shows that anger was just making a fool out of the person. So himmat every person has got, and it's up to him to use that himmat. فرمایا کہ ایسے کو مرید کرنا مناسب نہیں جس کا ادب شیخ کو کرنا پڑے. He says that don't make such a person your murid, even if he wants to become bayat, who you have to respect. A person who has got that position, there's the maulana in the town, the imam sahab, etc. He's got ijazat, he's got majlis also, but his mutawalli wants to become his murid. Now he can't tell the mutawalli. It's hard. If he hasn't got that himmat to tell the mutawalli or anyone else who is a person, who is ihsan, he's under. Favor is under, he can't tell that person. It's not advisable to make such a person a murid. Usse ta'al بلکہ ایسے کو کرنا چاہے جس کو جو چاہے کہہ سکے. But you should make such people murid who whatever you want to tell them, you can tell them. But this was in the time of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Today, every person, it's hard to tell a person. People get so quickly offended on so small things, they get offended. And once, by our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuhum, some talk came out that Hadrat, when he shouts and that. So Hadrat just listened, he didn't say anything. I told Hadrat, I prefer you shout and you tell me my faults and that. Another person told Hadrat, I can't take that. I prefer you don't tell me anything. And our Shaykh, he doesn't tell us directly. He uses Mir Sab. What he wants to tell us, he shouts Mir Sab. And he tells them that, why are you so stupid? Why are you doing this? Mir Sab understands that Hazrat is telling somebody else. But we don't understand, and we think that Mir Sab is, he doesn't understand. He's so long with Hazrat. His Islah is still not made till today. But his Islah is so completely made. And As-Sa'idu, a person who has got righteousness, piousness. When something happens to somebody else is shouted, he takes a lesson immediately. But a person who is not like that, who hasn't got good, even if you tell him directly, he doesn't take it, he gets upset, he gets angry. فرمایا کہ جب تک نسبت راسخ نہ ہو جاوے مختلف بزرگوں سے ملنا اچھا نہیں. Hadrat said that until a person hasn't got strong connection with his sheikh, what deen, nisbat, what is called, what Allah Ta'ala, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the deen hasn't set in strongly in him, it's not advisable that he must keep contact with other buzurgs. Till that time it isn't. Kisi ke paas baqasd istifada wa barakat na jawe. Don't go to any other buzurg, that they are all right and all on their place. But don't go to benefit from them or for barakat from them. Mazarat par bhi is qasse na jawe. Don't even go to the graves of the righteous and the pious that we will get their benefit. Wala tahrimna ujurahum comes in the hadith, that their benefits, ay Allah, don't deprive us. But till a person is not strong with his nisbat and ta'alluq, he must not go to too many people, to other people. Or baad rusukh nisbat khud hi jane ko nilna chahega. And when he has got nisbat and he got it from his sheikh, he won't feel like going to anyone. In other words, wahdat matlab, a person must just stick to one. A woman, if she just sticks to her one husband, she'll get everything from there. But if she goes around to other men also, she'll even lose her husband. She won't have anything whatsoever. So like that, a murid also must just be in contact with his sheikh. After having strong nisbat, he can go, but then he won't want to also. He'll realize, what I got from my sheikh. Phir farmaya ke talib ka to apne sheikh ki nisbat ye maslak hona chahiye. That how, what should a relationship be of a true seeker with his sheikh? It should be, wo aurat, the translation, it's a Farsi poem, wo aurat fahisha hai, jo apne khawin ke siwa dusre par nazar kare. That woman is an evil woman that goes and look at other men besides her own husband also. Isi tarah, murid ko sheikh ke alawa, kisi dusre par nazar na karni chahiye. In the same way, a murid also should not look at others. One time, in Darul Uloom Zakaria, Hazrat's program was there, a lengthy program, and Mufti Radaul Haqsab, he announced also that only Hazrat's poems will be recited here. One person read somebody else's poem, and then Hazrat became very, very angry. And such a poem, which was way up above the level of the people also. And somebody else's poem, but also a close associate of Hazrat. Hazrat said, didn't you hear the announcement? And such subject matter which the public cannot understand also, and that you had chosen, so that was very, very uncalled for. So it's very necessary that a person must see the mizaj and take on the occasion. Sheikh ko ye samjhe ki mere liye sabse anfa yahi hai. A person should think that for me, this is the most beneficial person. All others on their place. Don't have any disrespect and don't look down upon anyone. But who is going to be beneficial for me? The husband of the wife, his brothers may be much more better looking, may be much more wealthier, may be much more better in character. But if she starts looking at them or at anyone else, what kind of a woman is that? For her, all her benefit, her children, she was going to get from her husband. He is going to pay her expenses. He is going to do everything for her. She must only look at him. The same with a sheikh. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali says that in Alam-e-Barzakh, where all of us will meet on the day of Qiyamah in Jannat, he says the world can look at Shibli, at Junaid, at all the other great, but I will only look at my sheikh. I won't look at anyone else. My sheikh, he will be everything for me. Isko wahdat matlab kehte hai. Phir farmaya ke jis tarah wahdat matlub zaruri hai, is tarah wahdat matlab zaruri hai. How what you seek must be one. You're seeking Allah, Deen, all this. So that is wahdat matlub. And that you will get from wahdat matlab, from one person. Don't go, a rolling stone gathers no moss. A person who goes today here, goes today there, who is not stable, that person doesn't get anything. Be sincere, be firm. A dog just gets a piece of bread from a door, it's sincere to that door. It doesn't leave that door. So whatever we get, we should also be sincere like that. Albatta nisbat rasikh ho jane ke baad phir jahan chahe jaave, jahan chahe uthe, jahan chahe baithe. But when a person has got strong connection now with Allah, with Deen, and he has got it properly, now he can go. But as Hazrat has explained before, he himself won't desire to go anywhere. And that is natural. Those who got their Deen and Hidayat from Darul Ulooms, they became diehards for the Darul. Those who get it from Tabligh and Dawat, they are diehards for the Jamaat. Then those who get it from Khanqa, from the Sheikh, they become diehards for them. From where you get what you wanted, it's natural, you become a diehard for that cause, for that person, in that way. So may Allah Ta'ala let us fulfill the adab of tariq also, and Hazrat, where Hazrat does teaches us all other things, the etiquette of this path he also teaches. And that is also very important. This path is very delicate, and a person must observe this, the etiquettes of it also very much. One time, Hadrat, one of the beginning stages, he at the Darulum just outside, and for the love that we had for Hadrat, I kissed Hadrat on the cheek. So Hadrat said, your love is on its place, which should be there, but this is not right. The people will get a wrong impression that this is like a very cheap thing, this tariq, that you're all like kissing and all that. So keep the respects of this path also, that though you have that jazba, you love your sheikh, but you can't show all that love everywhere and all the time. The respects of it are also very, very important. On one occasion, some talk came and explained to Hadrat that by Allah's fazal, that wherever we go, safars, etc., and especially where it is ulama who host us, what is the wages of the ulama? That I don't take advantage. I always put something in their hand to try and cover whatever they from their side. They did big dawah, they did for us, everything. They go out of their way. So put something in their hand also. What are they earning? And that is an unexpected extra expense for that month. They are only earning, they're limited and they are budgeted. Now they do it and Allah will give barakah, there is no doubt. And Allah Ta'ala will cover up and give them more. But it's our duty also. Alhamdulillah, where they are rich people and we know that they don't need it at all, there it's not necessary. But especially where they are ulama, to take advantage, then they start disliking these people come here and for us is a burden. So we should be very careful wherever we incur them in any expense, try and cover up that expense also. And in fact, give them even. So Hadrat was very, very happy. He took me, he put me to his bosom and he kissed me and he told me, MashaAllah, Shabash. So that is very important that we don't let this path must not be affected in any way. So all, whatever is concerned in this way, we should be very, very careful. There is the way to reach Allah Ta'ala, and we shouldn't become a block in this way. We shouldn't block the road. We should show the road, not block the road. Like somebody said, that we have come to show you the way. And they were standing in such a way that they were blocking the road. They say, you have come to show us the road to Jannah, but you are blocking the road. Yeah. Like we stand, for example, by somebody's door in such a way, or our car, we park it in such a way that we are blocking the road for other people. So all these things are very important in this path. We should not take advantage of people also. People will go out of their way. They will say also, no, no, and they will naturally say, no, 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 not at all, please, we don't want it. But we have to understand, we have to, that don't put a person into a burden and into expenses. Consider the person. A person uses his car to take you around. Don't only think of the petrol, there is wear and tear. Consider that wear and tear of that. If he's a like a alim, etc., if he's a wealthy person, a wealthy alim, and he's doing it happily, no problem. Then it's not necessary. Tell him jazakallah, that is sufficient there. He doesn't need it. But a person who is not like that, we shouldn't take advantage in any way of such people. Yeah, further, Hadrat explains, teen alamat ahle muhabbat. Three signs of the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, which the Quran has explained. Again, let us see for ourselves whether the signs are in us, whether we have these signs where that shows that we have got the love of Allah. The first one, adhillatin alal mu'mineen. They are humble with the believers, and particularly with the poor believers. A person who is haughty and proud, and the Quran is very, very stressful, and the teachings of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that never ever give preference to the rich, to the influential over the poor. And wherever the poor were considered, Allah made deen flourish from those places. Like our Darul Ulooms generally, especially India, Pakistan, majority of the children are poor children. They from what backgrounds they come, what condition, and Allah has preserved deen in that way. So this is very, very important. In the work of Tabligh and Dawat, I can remember clearly in the Mashuras or from Raiwin and Nizamuddin, very much that always lot of stress that on the poor, work amongst the poor and give them make them feel important. And for example, the Quraysh of Makkah, their leaders, they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said that these people, and like Ammar ibn Yasir, Suhaib Rumi, Bilal, Habashi, radiyallahu ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, these were known as the Sufi Sahabas. And the word Sufi came from them. They used to wear a jubba made of suf, of wool. and naturally it gives off a smell. Wool gives off a smell. Even today, the well-treated wool, just a little bit damp it becomes or something, it gives off a smell. And there weren't all air conditioners and all fans, etc. So it should give off a smell. And they couldn't sit. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have thought that these people are very solid, they are very strong Muslims. If I ask them to excuse themselves, they won't even feel bad. And Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very keen that people must get hidayat. And when the rich and influential people will accept Islam, many more people will also come. But Allah immediately revealed the ayah that وَلَا تَعَدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Never ever take your eyes off these people. Those people, if they want to come, they must come. If they want to, let them go. Allah was very hard in this ayat that these poor people, they are very valuable, so they must be given. So this is very, very important, that this is a sign of the lovers of Allah. They are very humble with the believers. Today in our shops, we must check ourselves. If a collector comes, he comes from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and then what is our attitude towards him? And another person walks in, he's got a white skin, he's well dressed, etc. And what is our attitude towards him? He's not even a Muslim or any other Muslim, but these people here who are like down and out, and they are coming, they are the fake ones, but all are not fake, that is genuine. They are the genuine ones, and we look down upon them and we frown at them. This is a very dangerous thing. Mu'mineen are those people, adhillatin al-mu'mineen, a'izzatin al-kafirin. And with regard to the non-believers, then they are firm. So much so that when you're walking, don't give way for a non-believer. Today it's opposite, that we will give them the way, etc. That a Muslim must be so much in control of situation that everything is his. But we can't even understand this ayah today in the environment of today. Today it's very difficult to understand. And the third, yujahiduna fi sabilillah. The first is adhillatin al-mu'mineen, a'izzatin al-kafirin. With regard to the believers, and especially the poor, humble souls, they are very, very soft and compassionate, and give them time. And with the non-believers, they are hard on them. And yujahiduna fi sabilillah, they're making effort for deen. All directions, whatever it is, whichever way, they're making effort. And la yakhafuna lawmata laim, that whoever will criticize them, will pass remarks, they don't worry. They do what is right, and they are not concerned with whatever they pass remarks. Mazmoon irtidad ki muqable mein apne aashiqon ka zikr farmane ke baad, after those people who have become murtad, who gave up their deen, Allah Ta'ala explained who his lovers are. And after that, Haq Ta'ala shanu ne apne aashiqo ki teen alamat bhi bayan farma de. Allah explained the three qualities of his lovers, taaki unki shanakht ho sake, so that they could be recognized who they are. The first one, apne imani bhaiyo ke saath mihirbani aur tawazo aur nihayat khaksari ke saath milte hai. They meet their friends or their brothers of iman with softness, compassion. They are humble and they are very low in front of them. And the same thing we should think in our house also. How do we treat our family people? Many of us with our outside friends, we are very soft. The way we are so humble. But as soon as it comes to the family, then we are hard and we lash out at them. And how we carry on? No, those who are closest to us, those are the people that we must be more. We should show our akhlaq. We usually show our akhlaq outside, not in the house. Or kafiro par sakht aur masboot rehte hai. And they are very strong with regard to the non-believers. Ilmi latifa. Here is one point, or academic point. حضرت مولانا شاہ وسیع اللہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ نے فرمایا کہ جب کسی بستی میں ملوک بادشاہ لوگ داخل ہوتے ہیں تو اس بستی کے معزز سرکشوں کو گرفتار کر لیتے ہیں اور ان کو ذلیل کر دیتے ہیں. That whenever kings conquer a country, then the influential people, those who can sway the public, they immediately arrest them, all their opposition, so that they don't have any opposition. They put them in jail. They put them away somewhere in an island, everywhere, wherever the government of the day, and there is an opposition and election time, usually they lock up all the opposition. So this is the habit of kings. Irshad-e-Bari Ta'ala hai, in Allah says the nature of the kings and rulers is this, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. Kings and conquerors are such, when they enter a place, they cause the widespread destruction, and all their opposition, they catch them and put them into jail. تو اسی طرح جس دل کی بستی میں نسبت مع اللہ القا کی جاتی ہے. So in the same way, those hearts who are the friends of Allah, Allah's connection comes into that heart, they are the friends of Allah. To حق تعالی جو احکم الحاکمین اور سلطان السلاطین ہے, اس دل کے اندر تکبر اور عجب اور حسد اور بغض اور انانیت کے تمام سرکشوں کو گرفتار کر کے ذلیل کر دیتے ہیں. Allah conquers then in that heart all that pride which is in there, all the jealousy, all the hatred, that bigness, I, it's me, it's only me, nobody else, I must listen to me. All that which is in the heart, Allah conquers it and make them zaleel, disgraces them and takes them out of that heart. Bas har sahib nisbat ki is alamat tawazu se uske sahib nisbat hone ka pata chalta hai. So how do you know a person has got connection with Allah? He's a lover of Allah, is loved by Allah, he's got humbleness in him. If a person hasn't got humbleness, and we must check ourselves with our family, must check ourselves with other people, our friends, our workers, if we got haughtiness, arrogance, pride in us, how we carry on, then we haven't still got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. If we got nisbat with Allah, these things will leave our automatically, even without any other effort, it will go out, Allah will take it out. جو جس قدر قوی نسبت پر فائز ہوتا ہے اتنا ہی قوی فنائیت اور عبدیت کاملہ کو اس میں ظہور ہوتا ہے. How much more a person has got nisbat with Allah, how much he loves Allah, Allah loves him, the more you'll see humbleness in that person. And you will see that عبدیت of being like a complete slave and فنائیت will be in that person. And how much a person has got pride in him, then you'll see انانیت, it's me, nobody else, it's only me. Pride, jealousy, hatred for other people, those things will be in his heart. So this is what tasawwuf is, to bring these qualities into us. Not just making zikr, not just coming to the majlis, but that these qualities are coming into us. Like Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, that what is tabligh? He said, I fear that time that people will think they are in jamaat, in tabligh, but they will not be one but in jamaat. That is, they will be traveling lot, they will be doing lot of effort, lot of sacrifice, but the six qualities won't be coming in their lives. And the person who might not be even joining jamaat, but the six qualities are coming, his iman is increasing, namaz, ilm, he's got time, he's seeking more knowledge, his zikr, and he's making ikram, that means humbleness, etc., sincerity, all these things, and for that he's concerned all the time. That person is one time, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told that I never went for 3 days, I never went for 40 days for chilla, I never gave a year. One person who had in his mind that Mufti Mahmood Sahib is not a tablighi man. So he got a dream, and Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told him in a dream that Mufti Sahib is 100% our man. Then he explained, what is our man? Like we say, there is our man. That is a person, the six qualities are in his life. And if a person is doing lot of gush also, lot of time is giving, but the six qualities, there is deficiency, then Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali says, he's still not in the work also. Though outwardly it might look, so same way in whatever it is, by knowledge, a person is not a big alim by how much he knows, but how much of these qualities are in him. In the tasawwuf also, a person is not a big Sufi just because he's coming every week to the majlis, etc. But the thing is that these qualities are coming into us. That is important, especially this quality of humbleness, which is the starting point. Until there is no fanayat, the person can't go front. So these qualities have to come into us. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.